Welcome to our podcast about conscious living and finding your own path in today's rapidly changing society. We are Yindi and Lavinia, and this is Slow the F Down. Free money. It's a notion already proposed by some of history's leading thinkers. Thomas More dreamed about it in his book Utopia in 1516. Countless economists and philosophers would follow. Its proponents have spanned the spectrum from left to right, all the way to the founders of neoliberal thought, Friedrich Hayek and Milton Friedman. And Article 25 of Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948 promises that one day it will come, a universal basic income. And not merely for a few years, or only in developing countries alone, or only for the poor, but just what it says on the box, free money for everyone, not as a favor, but as a right. A monthly allowance, enough to live on, without having to lift a finger. The only condition, as such, is that you have a pulse. No inspectors looking over your shoulder to see if you spent it wisely, nobody questioning if it's really deserved. No more special benefit and assistance programs, at most an additional allowance for seniors, the unemployed and those unable to work. Basic income, it's an idea whose time has come. So this is a piece from the book Utopia for Realists, written by Rutger Bregman, or as we would say, Rutger Bregman in Dutch. Lofi, did you hear him? He actually calls himself Rutger Bregman now.
Oh, seriously? Oh, that's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell us about him a bit more?
Who is Rutger Bregman? Well, he was born in 1988, and he is a Dutch historian and writer who wants to change the world with his stories. Inspired by ideas of renowned thinkers, he philosophizes about the future. He's only 31 years old, but this young intellectual has already written 5 books and published with the Washington Post, the Guardian, and the BBC. He wrote several books on history and utopian ideas for a better society and became best known to the public for his international bestseller Utopia for Realists, which was translated into English and published in 2017. He focuses on education reform, a radically shorter work week, and the introduction of universal basic income. And of course, you may have seen his speech at the Davos conference, where he called out on the elite people that we have to control the tax. And also, he was on Fox News, I think. And he also called the host, a very famous host, American TV host. He called him also out on, just doing wrong stuff and taking all the money and not paying taxes.
Yeah, I forgot his name. Do you remember? I don't remember his name of the TV guy.
I'm not sure what his name was. Either. No.
But yeah, it was Fox News, and Rutger Bregman was basically just like, you're a millionaire paid by billionaires. Oh, yeah. You're only contributing to the problem and you're not solving anything. And yeah.
Yeah, he became very angry.
Yeah, it was really funny.
But it's very courageous of Rutger to just say what everyone is thinking.
Yeah, I agree.
And saying it to such powerful people.
Yeah, I think it's actually pretty surprising that nobody has mentioned all these things yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what the hell, you know? I mean, I think someone, I actually wanted to discuss her at the end of the episode again, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she is also one of the people that's finally speaking up against how money is just way too involved in politics and all that. So but yeah, that's cool. We've got some inspiring people, and Rutger is definitely one of them. And so he writes about universal basic income, and what is it?
Well, in short, it's money that you receive from the government, so you don't have to work full time, but can invest your time, take risks, take care of your family or people who are ill, and do other useful things and contribute to society. This will replace all welfare that the government distributes amongst citizens, but of course people who need an extra allowance for study or because they can't work because they are ill, they can receive extra allowance. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I've read his book, Utopia for Realists, and so in the beginning of the book he's talking about how we have stopped dreaming. We don't think idealistically anymore, or utopically. Is that a word?
Utopian.
Utopian thinking. And he says that the time that we're living in now once was a utopia as well. So there's always a change possible, but he's saying, like, even though there's a lot of things that are going really well in the world, definitely compared to how it's been in history, that doesn't mean that we should stop striving for a better world, and that we should stop thinking of, like, innovative and radical ideas.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's so true, because I think a lot of people are just like, well, this is just the way it is. And I think especially, of course, in the West and in the Netherlands, especially in the Netherlands, people are like really down to earth, and they are always like, well, we have it really good here, and we shouldn't complain.
Very conservative also.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when you say that, you do kind of like turn a blind eye to the other side of the world, or also the people actually in this country that still live on or below the poverty line. So it's not really fair to say, I think. And I think it's a good one to start with, why basic income would be a good idea, is that it could be the end of poverty. If we get universal basic income all over the world, it could be as easy as that to just give people money, because we often assume that it's a lack of character, that it's someone's own fault when they are poor, and that they must not be able to handle money, that they don't spend it wisely. It's kind of an assumption that free money would make people lazy. And so we create all these programs to get them to work, to help them. But actually, from a lot of research, it appears that the poor people are just the best way to help them is to actually just give them money. So I think we had a nice example of this, right?
Yeah. In Brazil and in South Africa, they were projects to help the poor people. And the social security that they wanted to give to those countries was about giving them free money. And they researched what happened, and it was a very successful project. The people did not become lazy, but they started working more because they could invest easier, start their own company, because of course you have a basis that you can start from. So they thought that the money was going to go to alcohol and drugs, but this was such a successful project, and the income increased. And it was very sustainable. More children went to school, and also the mental and physical health also increased. So it's better to give money to the people themselves, because they know best what to do with it, instead of people from Western countries going there and deciding that, oh, we should build a school here and start programs for people to do this and that, and just, you know, decide for them, while they have no clue what is happening in that society. So it was very successful to just give the people money so they can make their own choices to invest. And that's
exactly
one of the examples of basic income that works. One of the many examples.
Yeah. And I think he also in the book says, like, why spend loads of money aiding the poor by teaching them things or giving them things when you can just give them money, you know? It's that easy and it's so much more effective. And there was another example of this, and it was about homeless people. And I think this example was actually in the UK. But I haven't like got the facts about that particular research, but it was also that it just costs so much less to just give those people a home, because in Europe, the Europe
Europe.
Europe Europe the number of vacant houses is double the number of homeless people. And in the US, there is 5 empty houses to each homeless person. How crazy is that? That's just ridiculous. I mean, what the fuck, you know?
It's also a problem with the house market that a lot of people can't afford to buy houses or get a mortgage. So it's just not evenly distributed who needs a house and who needs money.
And it's the same with jobs, because why are there
Also.
so many people without a job when other people are overworking and way too stressed? And yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It needs to be redistribute. Oh, can't speak
Redistributed.
today. And so it all could be so much more fair and equal. And with the homeless, it was also that it just works a lot better to give them a house rather than have the police chase them or doctors treating rough sleepers to just send them back on the street again. Like, what is that about?
That's not solving a problem. That's making
Exactly.
things worse.
Exactly. Yeah, and like a lot of things, also with like the poverty in developing countries, we're just treating symptoms instead of treating this issue at the core, which is just the core is like the inequality in the world, and that the money just isn't equally distributed. So yeah, that's the first thing. But what are more reasons? Oh yeah, this is a good thing to mention, I think. We often say that we are doing so well as a country, or especially here in the West, but how do we really measure how good we are doing? And what's often used is the GNP, the gross national product, or the GDP, the gross domestic product. I don't know exactly what the difference is. And there's a funny quote in the book by Rutger. And the quote is by Robert F. Kennedy, and it says, "The gross national product measures everything except that which makes life worthwhile." So it doesn't measure a lot of important things that do contribute to society, like volunteer work or housework or breastfeeding. All these things are valuable, you know? I mean, breastfeeding is just like free food for babies.
That's an original example.
Yeah, I really like that one. And it's not really incorporated in this figure of how we measure how well we're doing.
How
And
many
it's.
women in a society are breastfeeding in
Yeah,
a country?
exactly. So, and also it just doesn't, I don't think it really measures how healthy and happy we are, but it just measures like a few things and then says, oh, the economy is doing great. And then, but are we actually, like normal people, are we actually noticing that the economy is doing great?
And of course, if you take an average, because I think that's what they do with the gross national product.
Yeah, I think
Of
so.
course, average, you can have people who have less money and a small amount of people who have a lot of money, so that's still not evenly distributed.
Yeah, so it doesn't even say, you can't really read off of that if we're actually doing very good. So we should ask ourselves, like, do we need new types of figures to decide how good our world is doing? And we need to ask ourselves what is growth really, what is progress, and what does truly make life worthwhile?
the quality of life instead of the quantity of things you have.
Yeah, and this is very important to think about for the future, because like with technology, so much is gonna change.
Yeah, we are going to need a new socio-economical system to make sure that we can adapt to this rapidly changing technological society, because technology will make people, or will make human labor less valuable. And there will be more welfare, but this income will go to just a small percentage of the people.
Yeah.
So this is a real problem, and more people will have to find new ways to have an income. And that, of course, if you just can't do human labor, you have to find other things that robots can do. Like, we are creative beings and we can innovate. So we should really use those human traits to make sure that we can still have jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, we're used to working long periods for the same boss. But we more and more are going to work for ourselves and start our own companies. And also, it's become very important to take care of elderly people. But of course, if you have to work full time, you can't take care of your parents who maybe need help. So you have to pay someone else to take care of your mother, while instead you would rather do it yourself. But of course, you can't, because you have to work to pay someone else. So that's also where universal basic income would come in very handy, so that you can work less and do other things like take care of elderly people. That's also very important to contribute to in society, I think.
Yeah, I think this is an important thing to talk about, because I don't remember if we really discussed this in our episode about work. But I think we meant to, but I don't remember if we really did discuss it, that there are so many things that are also work and that are not paid.
Yeah.
Like taking care of the kids, taking care of old people, doing voluntary work, volunteering?
Volunteering, yeah.
Yeah, and like the household and all of that, they act like this is not important. But if nobody did it, it wouldn't get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, why is it that all those things need to be done for free or for really little money, when actually they're very important?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't know, maybe because it's you are expected to do those things, or
I don't know.
It's very straightforward that people do those things.
Yeah, I guess.
But of course, they're not valued for what they are.
Yeah, I think so.
If you compare it to work that you get paid for.
Yeah, it's weird, because we're so used to that this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't really think about this, but I think it's also because because our society is really like a patriarchy, it's all made up by men. Like we discussed this in our episode with Nienke, which our English listeners can't listen to, unfortunately, but our Dutch listeners will know that we live in a very like man oriented society, and I think that's also why all this women work is just not paid.
Yeah.
You know, they're just kind of like taken for granted. Oh, you do all this work, you take care of the kids every day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not actually work. It's just like, why is that like just your duty?
Mm-hmm.
And then a man has a duty to go to work, but he also gets paid.
Yeah.
Why does he also get paid?
Mm-hmm.
And why do women not get paid for work that is equally important and needs to be done?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, you tell me. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why basic income is just a great idea, because it'll just make everyone a lot more equal and still have the opportunity to earn money.
Mm-hmm.
because I don't know if we're going to discuss this, but it's important to say that basic income is not like communism.
No.
It's not like forced to have everyone equal. Mm. You're allowed to just earn whatever kind of money you want on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah, because the problem right now is that if you have allowance, you cannot work next to it.
Yeah.
It's either or. So you get either allowance or you work. But you can't do both, you know, in most cases, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know really in which countries this is the case, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how it works in other countries. Mm-hmm. But it's true, because people that like can't work or cannot work as much as others, so they get an allowance and then they're not allowed to do anything else, which just keeps them in that same place forever. Yeah. And of course, they want to grow too, and they want to, you know, what if they want to build their own business, but they cannot do it full time, but they can do a little bit. And then it's like not allowed because it's just so ridiculous.
They just keep people small and in the same place.
Yeah.
Which is really a shame. But also a crime in the Netherlands, I think, is changing the student grant. Because in the Netherlands, we used to get a student grant. And if you got your certificate, your diploma, it was a gift to you. And if you didn't, you had to pay it back. But now it's a student loan. And students are just stressed. And they have to work next to their study to make sure they can pay for it. But of course, that's just way too much for a young person to and study and work at the same time. So a lot of students have burnout and very heavy stress problems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think it'll hold back some people to actually even go study.
Yeah,
I think. Because, I mean, of course, when you're lucky and you have parents that can pay for it, great. But I think probably the majority of people don't.
Yeah.
And then... if they think like, oh, I will never be able to repay this loan or pay back the loan, then I just can't go study.
No. And this makes the divide between the poor and the rich even bigger.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and imagine problem. Like not even just in our little country, but imagine all over the world if everyone got like a basic income, like it would just be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I have another example of one of the experiments with a basic income. This was done in Dauphin in Canada in the 70s, and it was called the Mincom Project. The government invested $70 million and distributed it among the citizens of Dauphin. And no one actually paid attention to this experiment until recently. Because the problem was welfare, so like the allowance that people received, it takes away people's motivation to work, what we just discussed. But if you get like a basic income, this would mean less hospitalization, which would also save government money. This is because there will be less accidents, like violence in the house, for instance, because people are stressed, they more often... use violence against each other, but also less mental health problems caused by stress of not having enough money. So that's also that the health costs will go down. So the people who started working less because of the money that they received, they used it working less users. Oh, they used their spare time for other useful time investments. And what they also found, that's something what we discussed for the students, that the young unattached boys, well, 80% of them didn't work, but instead went to high school to have education and later start their first job.
Oh.
So first they went into a job because, they didn't have money to go study. But then when they had the money to pay for education, they first make sure they had education and then start their first job. So it was
amazing.
Really good to make sure that they could maybe do jobs in a higher range, you know?
Yeah, that's so good.
So the experiment was a success, but the progressive government was replaced by a conservative government. So there was no the basic income didn't continue. And the problem is that such a social experiment takes 5 to 10 years to conduct the experiment. But of course, the political climate changes much, much faster, like 2 to 4 years. And the entire government or the people who are in the legislations, they are, of course, replaced. So the, so the ideas don't stick, and the importance of those ideas, yeah, it just, yeah, it becomes irrelevant, or people forget about it.
I think they intentionally forget about it, because obviously there's a few people that have an interest in this not happening.
Yeah, of course. Bottom line is people become happier, healthier, and busier when they receive a basic income.
Exactly, like it's so good. I'm now remembering another example in the book. I don't know exactly, I can't exactly name it, but it was all about how people really behave differently when they are poor or when they have money. And so they were, it was like tested on some people that earn most of their money like one period a year, and then the rest of the year they have to kind of wait, so they have to like spread it out. So right before they get their earnings, I think it's kind of like when you work in agriculture or something, you know, you you get your money when you have the crops and everything,
when you harvest the crops.
Exactly. And so they were really noticing how different the people behaved when they didn't have the money. They were like much more stressed, they made poorer decisions, they went gambling and did all sorts of things, even though they knew that they were gonna have the money. But still, when they didn't have it, they behaved completely differently. And then when they did have the money, they were so much more like relaxed and sensible, and there was less crime. Like, it is, people become desperate when they don't have money.
I can understand.
So I think that's why it's really logical that if everyone at least has this basic thing that provides safety and a house and food, then of course like crime will go down, because people don't have to go to such extents to get money. Because they can just relax, they can just have the things that they really need. And I think it's amazing that it gives this space to develop, because, well, even if I can talk about my own life, and I'm, of course, I'm never poor, I'm not poor at all in the grand scheme of things, but also if I had to work full time, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I can do it because of like my high sensitivity. And so even for me, if I just had a basic income, it would just mean that I can relax and actually live and use all my creative skills and build up business or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, because of course you have to start somewhere if you want to start a business.
Yeah.
And if you have no money to do that, that will be very hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for a lot of young people right now, also because we're not guaranteed a job anymore, like it used to be. And yeah, I think it would just cause to us all to have less stress. Have we discussed this? Can we accept that some people don't work but still receive money?
Well, the most important thing is that, because of course people say, yeah, if you receive free money, yeah, people will be lazy and they don't deserve it if they don't work.
Yeah.
But yeah, the culture of work was very important for the progress we have made so far. But it becomes counterproductive when there aren't enough jobs. So we need a different ethic, and young people are actually more open to the idea of a universal basic income. So and yeah, if you understand that in the long run it's a very important investment to make, because people will be healthier and happier. Yeah, it's a very good idea to at least experiment, you know, because societies are complex and dynamic structures, and they are not the same structures as they have been for the past century.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there was such a rapid developments in technology and in societies, and yeah, maybe we should just think about different structures.
Yeah.
For work and what income means, and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when so much work is gonna get automated by robots, so yeah. There will be less work anyway. So we need to think differently, and I think it would just be a great idea if we all worked less, and then people who don't have a job can have a job, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how? Why is this so hard? I think for me, it's just it makes so much sense.
Yeah. Like one job, one person is working one job but is stressed but has a lot of money. You could just divide that job into two so that both people have enough money and they are both not stressed, you know?
Yeah, and free
Simple
time.
As that.
And I have and more free time. Like, that's amazing. I think, you know, honestly, isn't it probably even better for the economy if everyone has like a decent amount of money, more time? Because if they have more time, they have like more opportunity to spend money again, right?
Yeah, and more different people who can spend money. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I just think it's a great idea. Oh yeah, I think I wanted to read this little piece from the book. Yeah, so he's talking about the future of capitalism. He's saying, for us today, it is still difficult to imagine a future society in which paid labor is not the be-all and end-all of our existence. But that's only evidence of poor imagination, not of the impossibility of change. In 1950, we couldn't conceive that the advent of vacuum cleaners, refrigerators, and washing machines would help promote women to enter the workplace in record numbers, and yet they did. But it's not technology itself that determines how the future is shaped. We do. The scenario of inequality that is taking place in the US and all over the world is not our only option. The alternative is that we let go of the dogma that you have to work for a living. And if we want the benefits of technology, meaning automation of a lot of jobs is inevitable, then our only option is a massive redistribution of money, so basic income, of time, shorter working week, and of taxation on capital instead of labor. So tax on capital. So that's like they tax the rich for having and keeping way too much money.
Yeah.
Because like a huge portion of the world's wealth is in the hands of a ridiculous amount of people. The richest 1% own more than half of all the wealth in the world. A person living at the poverty line in the US belongs to the richest 14% of the world population, and someone earning a median wage belongs to the richest 4%. So the fuck is that about? And then at the very top, the comparisons get even more skewed. Just 8 people, like 8 persons, own the same as the poorest half of the world.
Whoa. That's incredible.
I can't even comprehend this.
No.
I just can't even like wrap my head around what this even means, because the half of the world, that's 3.5 billion people. And 8 people think it's freaking okay to own money, the same amount of money as what? As so many people combined? Like, how can they sleep at night?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's not okay. I think it's not okay at all. Yeah. And you know, people are always like, I'm worried that, you know, you should be allowed to earn as much money as you want. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But this is just completely...
Because they worked hard for it.
Yeah,
you know,
but this is completely out of proportion. Like, all of those people are still nothing compared to those 8 people that just are just fucking ridiculously greedy and evil and...
Yeah.
I don't like to judge, but this I cannot like get at all.
No.
So yeah, I mean, you know, if those 8 people just said like, I will just keep, you know, nobody needs, why would you need more than Like, I say, I mean, I honestly, I would be like, I don't even need a million euros or dollars, whatever. Why the fuck would I need that? But I get it. You know, I get it. We like money. So let's say 25 million. But those people have like 100 times more or 1,000 times more. Or I don't even know how many times more that.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah. Okay. Rant went over.
Rant over. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't. You know what I don't understand is why are they not treated like criminals?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because the system is made to make this happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by who would that be made? Oh yeah, of course, by the people who it benefits.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah.
powerful people, the elites. Yeah.
The elites. Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
There's a big divide between the normal working class people and the elite.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's become a big problem and people are sick of it and they start to stand up against it, which is a very good thing.
Yeah, finally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I wonder why it's taken so long. I feel like people just didn't really realize how it just doesn't make sense. And I think also because of there's this notion like it's your own fault.
Yeah. You're responsible for your own happiness, your own well-being.
Yeah. Yeah. But some people just don't even get they're just like they get born in unlucky circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't get a chance.
Or something happens. Like, you know, a parent dies or you get ill or...
Accident.
Well, life happens, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I just think everybody deserves a fair chance.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the world is right now, then that's just not the case. Like, where you are born determines how rich you will get most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be this one lucky person that kind of gets out and makes it. As
American dream.
Yeah, the American dream. But I think the majority really depends on the chances you get. And I mean, of course, I do believe in creating your own reality and everything is possible, but that still doesn't mean that we shouldn't all actually get equal chances.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's my opinion on all this.
Yeah.
Okay. Have we, do you think we've discussed clearly, maybe we should round up about the pros and cons?
Yeah, maybe just a small recap about the pros and the cons of universal basic income. The pros from what we've seen from the experiments that were conducted in Canada, Alaska, Brazil, South Africa, those are just a few examples. There was less healthcare cost because people are happier and have less stress, also less household violence, which I also talked about. People make better decisions because they are less stressed. They can take risks, invest in starting a business, experiment and innovate. And they actually have the feeling they want to contribute to society and have the chance to get good education and have a meaningful job and have motivation to work. People can make their own choices and they are more creative and there's higher productivity because they actually feel like they want to work. They have more spare time to take care of elderly people or take care of children and other time investments. As just overall people are happier and that's way better for our future. It's a very sustainable investment. And also on the logistics side, maybe that now there's a complicated web of welfare structures. And if you introduce universal basic income, that would be just one structure and maybe some additional allowance for people who are ill or children or people who need extra.
Mm-hmm.
So that would really, because in the Netherlands now 80% of the people get some sort of allowance.
Yeah.
And all different kinds of things. So that's a really complicated structure. So if we just wipe that away, all the controls also, that would also save a lot of money. Now for the cons. Of course, initial investment of introducing the UBI, Universal Basic Income, is high. But in the long run, the costs are lower. People will say that lazy people will receive money while doing nothing. So it's crucial to make clear that it is a sustainable investment into society and the economy.
Yay!
yeah, so that's, yeah, about yeah. the pros and the cons. I hope that that was clear.
I think it's it's very important to say that. I think it's also about trusting other people, trusting each other. And I think Rutger was actually writing a new book about that. I don't know. I don't think it's published yet, but I think he was writing a book about how people actually in their nature are good and not bad, like a lot of people think. So I'm really curious to see all the research that he's going to come up with again and to prove that people are just, let's not say maybe all people, but most people have good intentions and most people want to contribute to society and help other people. And
if they don't, they have to go to jail and they are the criminals.
But like, even, you know, it's not that hard to think, because if you look in your surroundings, like the people I know, I don't know anyone who would just like sit at home and watch TV and do nothing. Everyone wants purpose in their lives, you know? So yeah, maybe a little last thing from the book. Should I read that last little thing? Rutger says, it took a while before I realized that my so-called lack of realism had little to do with actual flaws in my reasoning. Calling my ideas unrealistic was simply a shorthand way of saying that they didn't fit the status quo. And the best way to shut people up is to make them feel silly. It's even better than censorship, because people are almost guaranteed to hold their tongues. So he's just saying, like, people are only saying his ideas are unrealistic because they just don't want things to change. So yeah, I think this idea is actually great and very realistic, and if we can work to some kind of utopia, a realistic utopia, I think that's great. So
definitely.
So, do you have anything for our inspiration section?
Yes, because we've talked about Rutger Bregman's ideas this episode. I saw he posted a little video on Twitter, on his Twitter account. It was posted on the 9th of June. And the introductory text was, people like Greta Thunberg, you know, the girl you also talked about in one of our episodes. She is protesting against climate change and very big in the media right now. People like Greta Thunberg and AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, are often dismissed as radical or out of touch. But the reality is their radicalism is the future. While the planet is heating up, it's the so-called moderates who are out of touch. And then in the video that's in his tweet, you should look it up on his Twitter. It's Rutger Bregman. It was posted on the 9th of June. He's saying, yes, how can you be moderate in today's society? How can you just say, like, I don't care? You have to speak up if you are aware of what is happening around us. And he's also one of the people who's actually doing that. So for that, he's very inspirational, I think. And also, I think in this video he says, like, I'm a historian, and if there's one thing I've learned from history is that nothing ever stays the same, that things are constantly changing. So, yeah, that's what will happen in our future. So, I hope he's right.
I just wanted to quickly talk about Alexandria again, because in a few, I think a few episodes ago, you mentioned the documentary, Knock the House Down. And I watched it, and oh my god, I cried.
I cried too.
It was just beautiful, and I'm extremely inspired by her, and I was always like, oh my god, I need to go into politics now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
well,
honestly,
it's a very big compliment to her. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, however, though, I don't think I could do it. It's so intense.
Yeah.
I think she is the most brave person. And also those other women in the documentary I thought were incredible. And
yeah.
It was just such a shame to see that three of them then didn't make it.
Oh, yeah.
And then, well, obviously I was really glad that Alexandria did make it, because that's amazing. But I was like, oh, why didn't all the other ones, you know, they were so good too. And but yeah, I guess, you know, I think the message there is that we just all need to keep trying and spread our positive message and inform people and all that. So yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, she's also an example of the working class against the elite.
Yeah.
And she was working at as a waitress, and she thought, why is there some dude, a white man, a privileged man, making decisions about my community, about my neighborhood, about me and my family?
Yeah.
And that's just really unfair. And she thought, well, maybe just make sure that I get hurt. And well, she was hurt by her community and by a lot of people who are actually sick and tired.
Yeah.
So yeah,
you know,
very inspirational.
Now that you mentioned this, I'm just thinking of the book that I'm reading by Naomi Klein. And the book is called No Is Not Enough.
Yeah.
And it's very much about Trump and his well, the way he is being president. And well, yeah, it's a lot about him, but also just about the state of the world right now. And I think that that's a really, really good book as well. I haven't finished it yet, but it's, so far it's been really, really inspirational and insightful for me, because it just really clearly states how money is so incorporated into the government and that. So I think that's a really good book to read if anyone just wants to know more about how everything really is in the world and how we can make it better and change it. So
Sounds great.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. Yeah, we would love to know what you think of this episode. And yeah, for our Dutchies, the next episode will be about autism. We will speak to a very good friend of us about this who has autism. And yeah, it's going to be an amazing episode. And the next English episode will be episode 15. So keep an eye out for that. Or just follow our Instagram at Slow the F Down Podcast. And you can stay updated. And you can, of course, also subscribe to our podcast. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. You will hear us next time.
Yes.
In the English episode, or for the Dutch people who are listening, the next episode about autism. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, bye.